Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So we're going to finish the book today. And Ecclesiastes has been a book about things that are empty and meaningless, and vanity is the word that Solomon uses for it. And so what are those things? What are the things that he says are empty and meaningless and vanity?
Money, entertainment,
okay.
Class versus wisdom,
okay.
Power.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything except for what's on this little sheet of paper here.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, specifically.
Your scripture memory for today.
Specific things, though.
Okay.
All has been heard.
I mean, even wisdom can be vanity in some ways.
Yes.
I mean,
it can be.
It's important to have, but it can be.
Wisdom
yes.
Without God is just dumb.
Okay.
Useless.
It's useless. It's
okay.
Not,
yes.
It's not true wisdom, for one.
It's not true wisdom.
Yeah, and you may be really, really smart and be able to parse all these things and see all these things, but you don't see it naturally.
Yeah.
It's not.
We're actually going to talk about that today.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's all right. That's good. Okay, Ecclesiastes is also a book about what does matter. What does matter? This is what we talked about last week, which we're going to talk about again this week.
Eating and drinking and finding pleasure in what God gives you.
Okay, seeing life as God's good gift and enjoying it. Okay. And what else?
The first of the chapter in Vanity, about
Vanity, yeah.
And Vanity, but after that, they talk about God, and sometimes we hope in God, and sometimes he said the other things.
Mm-hmm. We hope in ourselves and all of our accomplishments, all of our things that we succeed in.
So chapter 12 is the last chapter of the book, and chapter 12 really is focused on what matters. And it begins with, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before this happens. And then verse 2, before that happens. And verse 3, and this happens. And that happens. And this happens. And that happens. And verse 6, before this happens. And that, remember your Creator. And the idea is, remember your Creator now. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. That's the idea of chapter 12, verses 1 through the first, basically 7 verses, is what he's saying. Okay, that's what matters.
Mm-hmm. And six.
Yes.
What did he say?
Verse 6 of chapter 12 just says before, and then he talks about something that's going to happen. And so
before you die
is one of the things that he talks about. Yes,
before you die, come back to God.
That's yes. Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Before you die, come back to God. That's right. And the idea, but before this and before that, before all these things happen, is now. Don't wait. That's the idea. Okay, now, this message of Ecclesiastes, there's two sides to it. These things don't matter. This does matter. Those are two sides of one coin. That message is everywhere in Scripture. So, think of this. Do not worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well. Do not worry about this stuff. It doesn't matter. Seek this, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It does matter. Guys, that is Ecclesiastes. That's the message of Ecclesiastes. First John, do not love the world or the things in the world. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do not love this, but love the Father and the will of God, which abides forever. That is Ecclesiastes. Or how about this? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do not lay up for yourselves these treasures. Instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. These treasures. That is Ecclesiastes. The main ideas in Ecclesiastes are actually main ideas all throughout Scripture. It's not like Ecclesiastes is some special, you know, it presents it in a very unique way, for sure. But the ideas themselves are just basic, normal, ordinary ideas that all of Scripture, you find it all throughout Scripture. And so today we're going to get the conclusion of the book, and it's going to repeat some of the things that we have been talking about all throughout the book. And so I'm going to read, starting in verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. That's a theme that we've seen again and again. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So it starts verse 8 with vanity of vanities, kind of one of the huge themes of the book. This world is empty. Then verses 9 through 11 get at the author. Who are we talking about here that's writing all of this? Mm-hmm. And it's Solomon. And the idea that he has written from God. That's what verses 9 through 11 are getting at. Verse 12 is a warning about books that are not from God. And so I'll read it. My son, beware of anything beyond these. These is referring back to the sayings and the proverbs and the wisdom of God. And so these are books that are not from God. And so, of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. these are verses that college students and professors and academics need to take to heart.
We used to quote them in college.
Did you quote them in college?
Yeah, we quoted this in college.
Yeah.
Our college.
Because the temptation is to make your studies your life. That's the temptation. And listen, there's nothing wrong with learning and getting knowledge, and there's a time for that, for doing that kind of thing. But if you have ever been in the academic world, you have come across people for whom academics is everything. Mm-hmm. You've seen these people, and the knowledge to them is everything. Their books are everything. It's like there's nothing else in the world except getting knowledge and being academic and smart and whatnot. You've seen these people. They're very smart and very empty at the same time. And sometimes they're empty because they're smart. It's what made this, their emphasis on their intellect that makes their heart empty. They have great knowledge and little joy. Much light, no faith. Guys, God does not care how much you know. He cares how much you love. That's so much more important to him. Paul even says this, 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. He actually puts it just the way I just said it. He said, if I have all knowledge but have not love, I am nothing. That's how Paul puts it. That's the academic world in many ways. There's a lot of, I'm not saying everybody in the academic world is that way. I don't hear that. But I am saying that it's common in that world. And you have seen these people. They're advanced, they're sophisticated, and they're empty. I've seen lots of those people. A three-year-old who loves Jesus is better off than those people. But they know so much more than the three-year-old knows. But the three-year-old is better off because what you do with Jesus is what matters. And they're very smart in things that in the end don't matter. But the three-year-old, who may not be so smart, has got the right thing in loving Jesus. Verse 13, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The end of the matter means this is the final matter. This is the important thing, the central thing, the main thing. This is what's ultimate. That's what the end of the matter is getting at. This is what matters. This is the big, big thing. So what is the important thing? Know a lot of facts? Get a lot of money? Get married and have a family? It's none of that stuff. The important thing is this: fear God and keep his commandments. Verse 13 says, in fact, that is the whole duty of man. That's, in other words, that's actually why you exist. You exist for God. This is what life is about. At the end of the day, this is what life is about. Now, fear God does not mean shake in terror. That's not the idea. Fear God has to do with honoring God, believing God, obeying God. When I taught English, this was with my eighth graders. I did a series on two of the Chronicles of Narnia. And so I selected two of those books. I did The Voyage of the Dawn Treader and The Magician's Nephew. I chose them because most everybody has already read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And so I did those two books, and I would teach my eighth graders. We would read those books, and you know, we had various activities and vocabulary and tests and papers and whatnot over those books. One day we were in class discussing the Chronicles of Narnia, and I asked this question. I said to my students, how do the children in the book relate to Aslan? Aslan is the lion, the great lion who created Narnia. Aslan is Jesus in our world. This is fantasy, fiction. And so in his world, he's a lion and he's Jesus. And I said to my students, how do the children are the other characters that meet Aslan? The characters come from our world and they go into Narnia. And they meet in Narnia, the creator of Narnia, Aslan. So the question was, how do the children relate to Aslan? Sarah Gatewood said this, eighth grade theologian. She said, they fear him, sir. And then she thought about it and said, but they're not afraid of him. Perfect. That if you've read, you've probably not read the books, but you may have read those books. If you're familiar with the relationship between the children and Aslan and how C.S. Lewis presents that, there's fear, and yet they're not afraid of him. They're able to run up and jump in his mane and play with him and roll around in the grass with him and so on, and yet there's a fear there of him. They understand that he's not an ordinary lion. And so he's got power. They recognize this. Okay, that is what our relationship with God is to be like. You're to fear him. And yet not be afraid of him at the same time. Now, when you fear God, you will keep his commandments. When you fear God, you will obey him. And so it says fear God and keep his commandments like they're two things. And in one sense, they are two things. But if you really do fear God, keeping his commandments will follow. You will keep his commandments because you fear God. And so it's a healthy fear of God is what causes you to keep his commandments. And so the fear of God without obedience is actually not a real fear of God. I mean, if you disobey God, you really don't fear him. And if you honor God, you obey him. Obedience is part of honoring him. Now, why should you fear God? The text gives you two reasons to fear God in the text. The first one is just the next phrase. For this is the whole duty of man. In other words, it's why you exist, what I said earlier. That's why you should fear God. It's why you were made. You exist to bring honor to God. So bring him honor with all your life. Your whole life, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, how you live. Bring him honor through that. That's the first reason why you should fear God. The second reason is also in this text. It's the next verse. verse 14. For, that's how it starts, verse 4.
14.
Verse 14, but it starts with the word for. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So why should you fear God? God will judge you. That's what that verse says. And in fact, the word for connects that back to verse 13. You need to have a healthy fear of your judge. And God is your final judge. You know, I just think of Earth. When a criminal stands before the judge for sentencing, he'd better have a healthy fear of that judge and not just disrespect him. God will decide if you feared him or not. He's your judge. God will decide if you honored him. God will decide if you believed in him. God will decide if you obeyed him. He's the judge. He's the one who makes that final determination. And the judgment of God is, if I can go back to the classroom and use classroom imagery, the judgment of God is basically your final exam. But it's an exam that's much bigger than any exam you have ever taken in your life. It's the one that matters. So I told you I used to teach English, and so I'd be teaching high school English, and I would be giving a lecture on whatever I was, you know. And a student would ask, "Sir, is this going to be on the exam?" Mm-hmm. I got that question all the time from students. You used to teach. You got that question too. They asked you those questions. Is this on the test? They want to know, right? Because they want to know how to prepare for the test. Okay. So for the biggest exam you will ever face in your life, would you like to know what's on that final? I'll tell you what's on the final. This verse tells you what's on that final. Here's what's on the test. Verse 14. Every deed and every secret thing, whether good or evil, that is on your final exam. Every deed you have ever done and every secret thing, whether good or evil, is on your final exam. God will judge everything you have done. And he will judge your secret things. That means he will judge your thoughts. That means he will judge your motives. The reason why you did whatever it was. This means God is going to judge your heart. That's on the test. Your heart is on the final exam. And here's the thing with God. God sees. He sees your secret thoughts. He sees your heart. He sees your anger with your mom, or how you look down on people who are less than you in whatever area it happens to be, or how you really do want money. He sees that stuff. He sees about how proud you felt about yourself when you gave that ride to the friend who needed the ride, and it was, you know, you did this nice deed to help your friend, but he saw how really you're like, yeah, look at me. He sees the inside of that deed. And you can hide your deeds and your thoughts and your heart from an earthly judge. Their earthly judges can't see everything. You can hide a lot from them. You will not hide those things from God. You can't hide those things from God. It's impossible. In fact, it's really kind of silly to even try. And so you can do good things for the wrong reason, and God sees. And you can be bitter inside, but look fine on the outside, and God sees. And you can say to your brother, "I forgive you," without really forgiving him from the heart, and God sees. God wants a right heart. Christianity is about your heart. In the end, that's what matters. On your final exam before God is your heart. What did your heart do with God? What did you do with him? It's not what did you look like on the outside. That's not on the test. And so, you want to pass the test? Fear God from the heart. Honor him from the heart. Believe him in the heart. Obey him from the heart. And this says, keep his commandments from the heart. And that's a tall order when you start looking at it. It's a tall order that, frankly, we can't do.
We have failed the final before we got there.
You failed the final before you got there. Yeah.
Let somebody else
come in. Jesus, come take it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, keep his commandments. That's the verse 13. This is his commandment, that you believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and that you love one another. That's 1 John 3:23. He actually says, this is his commandment. Okay, if you're going to keep his commandments, then you are going to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. In fact, if you do not believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, you're not keeping his commandments, because he commands you to do that. It's not optional. You will do that if you're going to fear God in the end. And it's really, what John has to say is very simple. Believe in Jesus and love. That's his message. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will fail the test. If you don't love, you will fail the test. If you do believe in Jesus from the heart, you'll pass the test. And if you love from the heart, I guess love from the heart's kind of like redundant, isn't it? You'll pass the test. Because Jesus said this about love. He said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. For all of the law and the prophets are tied up in these two commands. In other words, if you will believe in Jesus and love, you're keeping the other commandments. That's the idea. Now, obviously, we're not doing it perfectly, but that's why you have to believe in Jesus. What you do with Jesus is at the center of what you do with God. Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It's 1 John 1:9. When you are clean, you pass the test because you're clean. Now, last week, when we were talking about remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before all this stuff happens, basically remember your Creator now, we talked about how you can come to Jesus at any time. As long as you're still breathing, it now is the time of salvation, as Paul puts it. And you can do that. It's kind of like this. So my son went to law school, and he would tell us about his classes and, you know, the tests and whatnot and so on in law school. And he took classes for which, for the most part, his grade in that class was the final exam. There wasn't really much else in the class that determined his grade other than the final exam. And so you could perform horribly all semester long and score really well on that final exam, and you were okay. Okay, life is like that. Because in life, you can live horribly all your life. But if you, from the heart, it's got to be real. I'm not talking about, you know, playing a game with God. But from the if it's real, from the heart, you repent, you come to God, you're going to pass the test. Because that's the way it works. There's a guy I work with. He's 90 now at the church there. He lived about 65 years for himself. And he saw that life was pretty empty. And he repented. He came to Jesus. He was in his mid-60s before he became a Christian. And he changed. And he changed so much that his wife, when his wife would introduce him to people, you know, she knew, she would say, "Oh, yeah, this is my new husband." Now, he'd been married to her for decades. He wasn't really a new husband. But you know what? He was a new man. And that's how she introduced him. That's the change. It was so evident in him. Well, that changed. He was like 65 or something before he became a Christian. He had lived his whole life not for God. But you can do that. See, the final exam is not about how you begin. It's about how you end. The love of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. And you can end under that love and have peace and have joy and be clean in the sight of God. But you have to fear him and honor him and believe in him and obey him and hold on to Jesus and love your God and love your neighbor from the heart. You don't have to do it perfectly, but you have to do it from the heart. That is what matters. So, I want to close this way. I want you to think of a place where perhaps you have not honored God, maybe as you should, or where you've not feared him as perhaps you should. Maybe some issue, whatever it happens to be, or where you've not obeyed him. You know, he says, do this. No, I don't want to do that. something God's calling you to obey in or honor him in. And I'm going to give you a minute to think about that, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to have you ask God for his grace to obey him in that, whatever that issue happens to be.